Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Good day, everyone.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about the top three ways to wreck your real estate career and your life. It's a real positive show for us today.
Oh my gosh. This is not a Jill topic, obviously.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Marcus asks, in the land counties I'm looking at, they seem to retail roughly at $10,000 per acre. Should I use the $100 an acre suggested offer and blast out 1,500 offers or up my offer price? Thanks in advance.
I am so glad, Marcus, that you answered this. I asked this question, and I am so glad Yanni, our producer, included it in the show.
Mm-hmm.
You should never.
Yeah.
Blast a county with $100 an acre price where it's retailing for $10,000 an acre. You're wasting your time. You're going to upset a lot of people and waste a bunch of money on the mail.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same exact effect of, offering somebody to buy an office building in Manhattan for $500 a square or $100 a square foot. It's just silly. And what you're doing is earning a reputation for yourself that's not good.
Exactly.
So what you want to do instead to directly answer the question is, if it's 10,000 bucks an acre retail for sale, come in around 40 to 50%, 5,000, 4,000, 6,000, depending. There's a lot of variables. At this level, what we do and how I price offers has to do with how much cash I want to take out of the deal. So it's not a percentage. So if you buy a 5-acre property and it's $50,000 according to your ideology, I would try to buy it for $40,000 or $30,000 and just to make a $10,000 spread.
Mm-hmm.
Or some version of that. So pricing in general is very, very, it's imperative to learn how to price to make this work. And it takes a lot of practice. You can't do it the first time out.
You know, the other thing is interesting that you're giving those numbers, because we go for volume more than maximizing revenue. And I think that's important for people to know, because the more deals you do, maybe they're smaller deals, but they're easier deals and they're faster deals.
Right.
That's our way, and it works out really well.
You want to have what you want to do when you get an offer campaign in the mail is establish some type of consistency that yields predictable results.
Mm-hmm.
So Jill and I, in general, when we do a land campaign, I can almost bank on about 1%. 1% for every 100 letters that we send out, we're going to buy one, a property. It's mm-hmm. a little closer to 150, but we're going to buy a property that we know we can double our money on for land. And for houses, it's about 1,500 to 2,000, sometimes 2,500 offers we have to send out to buy a house. But the margin, the profit margin from a percentage standpoint is way lower. But the dollars that you yield on each deal is way higher.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense, Jill?
Less deals worth more money.
Yeah.
On the houses.
In Arizona, in the $100,000 to $300,000 range for houses in Arizona, Arizona's a good market for that. In Las Vegas, we try to make $10,000 a house. We do make $10,000 a house, or we won't do the deal.
Mm-hmm. And that's not being greedy.
Right.
That's leaving plenty of margin for the next guy.
Yeah. So the guy that we sell it to, who we already have in our pocket before we even send the mail out, makes way more money than that, because mm-hmm. they go in and clean it up and do the whole thing.
Exactly. We hope they make way more money.
When we do movie star ranches or large acreage properties on the coastal area in the Pacific here, we need to make $100,000 on those. And the deals, we don't do those obviously as often.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same thing with some of the house margins here in Southern California, and California in general. We try to make about $100,000 on those too.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't always happen. It usually ends up being 50 to 80. So you have to, pricing is just imperative. But I will tell you this, and then we'll move on to the topic today. After you send out a few mailers and get the hang of it, and you do start doing a few deals, you've taught yourself a skill that's going to put food on the table for the rest of your life. If you can effectively send out blind offers and make it financially work, that's, you can make a massive career out of that like we have. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard. It's, you know, it's not going to take you 4 years like going to college.
How much time do you spend again, Jack, on pricing? Because you shared this the other day and I thought it was really cool.
Before I send out a more meaningful campaign, one that's really thought out, it's not a micro mailer, one that where we send to, I don't know, three or four counties or five or six markets, let's say, separate markets. Sometimes they're in the same state, sometimes not. These are my favorite kind of mailers, by the way. So it's all diversified and priced. I spend at least 80 hours. No, probably 40 hours. I spend probably full time 1 week, mm-hmm. is what I mean. I've sent, you know, it's not that I'm going line by line. What I'm really analyzing is completed sales and existing sales in the market, and then backing off what I think. Then I apply a test of reason. So you can't just do an equation in a spreadsheet and say, I'm going to send it out for $155 an acre, and then a blast it all for every acre size. So from one acre to 100 acres, it doesn't make sense. You're not going to send an offer out to buy a 1 acre property for $150. It's ineffective.
Right.
What would you do if you got an offer in the mail for $150? You'd say, this is silly.
Exactly. Not worth my time.
If it was for $1,000 on the same acre property, now I'm thinking about it.
Right.
$1,000. I could use $1,000. $150. No, thank you.
Exactly.
And so the same thing happens with, to a much more effective degree, for a higher priced property. Yeah, I know my house is worth $650,000. Jack next door just sold his for $650,000. Mm-hmm. But I'm staring at an offer for $500,000 cash, and I can have $500,000 cash in my checking account on Thursday?
Mm-hmm. It gets you thinking.
Hey, Mrs. Jack, you want to do this? The timing's pretty good. I know we could get more, but man, now we don't have to paint the house.
We don't have to do the remodel you want, the mm-hmm. bathroom. We can just walk away like this.
$500,000 sounds good next Thursday.
Pack your bag. Let's just take a trip and buy something new.
Yep.
Cool.
We were thinking about moving to Arizona anyway. Houses only cost $200,000 there.
Think of what we could buy with this.
And that's the conversation you want the recipient of that letter to have.
Mm-hmm.
Not, who the heck does this guy think he is $150?
Right.
So, if there's a test of reason at the end of every mailer. We should do a show on this.
Mm-hmm.
That I really do it, and I sit and kind of put myself sitting at that person's kitchen table when they're opening the mail going, yeah, this is a good offer.
Mm-hmm.
Or not
a good
offer.
It makes me think kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. You want them to think about it. Don't be stupid. Put some thought into it. No, I'm just saying, you know.
Don't be stupid.
Put some, honestly, that makes me mad too. Yeah, don't be greedy and don't be foolish.
Don't be responsible.
Don't say, yeah, I'm just going to blast out this because, you know, let's just see what comes back. But you're going to get a much better result if you put some thought into it. And you're sending, I get mad when people send two low offers
me
and then
too.
They like high five each other. I'm like, okay,
that's not cool.
Because you want to make it worth their while and be cool.
We're not here to take advantage of people.
Correct.
We're here to
they're send. Low offers. We got that. They're lower than retail, obviously, and lower than a couple things, but they're still decent offers that everybody gets something out of it.
Always be respectful about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to steal property from people.
No.
Really, you really don't.
Yeah. That's nothing to run around bragging about.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, the top three ways to wreck your real estate career and possibly your life. They're the same things, in my opinion. This is a chapter in a book that I'm trying to complete.
This is funny.
How to ruin your life.
Oh, I love it. I'm sure that's going to fly off the shelves, Jack. This is so good.
Don't you get sick of all this positive stuff all the time?
New York bestseller, author, How to Ruin Your Life.
I'm so tired of
one year or less.
Tony Robbins motivationals. Come on.
My gosh.
Oh, there's sun shining out of your bottom today. Congratulations.
Oh,
no,
man.
No. Let's hear some good, solid advice for some people that have been to hell and back, like Jonah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because we did wreck it. No, I'm just kidding. So, I wrote down my three. This is one of those shows that, like all of our shows, we don't talk a whole lot beforehand. And I sat down and I put some thought in. I'm like, okay, what are my top three? So you want to know my third yard?
I do. I can't wait.
Because they're real estate. This is all real estate career, not just wrecking your life in general. That's a whole nother show. Like getting married and stuff. No, I'm just kidding. No. So.
Oh, that's great.
No, I'm just kidding. All right. So the top three ways to wreck your real estate career and your life. My number one is borrow money.
Oh my gosh. I love when you come up with stuff that's different than mine.
Oh.
So no lending.
Yeah. That will sink the ship really fast.
Totally agree with you.
If you owe,
not on my list.
You're under the gun. You owe a lot of people some money. That's going to wreck your real estate career. My number two, jumping in with no experience and or education and making bad decisions.
Like sending $100 an acre offer to a $10,000 an acre market.
Right. Or the opposite. Or overspending because you really don't know what things are worth. That's the one I was thinking. I was thinking a bad decision is you overspend for something and now you're stuck with it and you will lose money. So that was...
This is not a commercial. Jill's 100% right. It's free. Go to landinvestors.com. It's kind of like the Facebook of land investing where mm-hmm. there's a bunch of people on there that are doing this right now. Mm-hmm. The tagline's real people doing real deals in real time. And ask the craziest questions you can ask. Mm-hmm. And everybody there will help you.
Yeah.
They wherever you are in your career, the people that are ahead of you that are doing deals, they've been right where you are. So
mm-hmm.
you're not alone in your real estate ambition.
Well, do I hear my number three?
Yeah, I do.
Just tagline king. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Those are all yours and they're perfect. Okay, my number three reason way to wreck your real estate career and your life is... everybody's going to shoot me here, but become a real estate agent when, hold on a moment, there's a thing, when you really want to be an investor. They're separate, everyone.
There's a reason I adore you.
Thank you.
These are perfect.
Thank you. Don't become a real estate agent when you really just want to be an investor. A lot of people back into this thinking, well, I have to do that for commission purposes and that purposes.
Or to get access to the MLS.
Exactly. Mm-mm. You don't need any of that stuff. If anything, it's going to slow you down.
Here's the reason that you would become a real estate agent. Because you want to represent other people in their real estate acquisition and sale.
Right.
Or do you want to represent yourself? It's a very simple question. Look at yourself in the mirror. Do you want to represent Sally Housewife in the purchase of her new house and help her with her wallpaper and her window treatments?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to purchase and sell apartment buildings for yourself and your family and your own personal checking account?
Mm-hmm.
So Jill's 100% right. If you love wallpaper, become a real estate agent.
Right. And fighting over who gets to keep the drapes.
If you
become a real estate agent.
Making $150,000 on a flip.
Don't become
a real estate agent. Do not become a real estate agent.
Yep.
I love it, Jill.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Boy, I went a different direction.
Yeah, what are your three? And now I'm dying to hear.
Well, this is more, I might be geared toward more for young men because the book that I'm writing is advice for young men.
Okay.
I just watched somebody put together an incredibly intelligent Facebook thing. They interviewed a guy. I don't know if it's true or not, but it was really worth watching. In his 30s, single guy in his 30s, like 33. And he did a bunch of flips and made, I mean, he made like $20 million pretty quickly,
mm-hmm.
which sounds just like us. And they said, well, how do you do these real estate deals? Like, how do you find it? He said, that you guys are all asking the wrong questions. This is the reason I wrote the title of this show. The question you should be asking me is, what didn't I spend money on? And what didn't I do in my 20s to have all this happen to me in my early 30s? And here's what he said. While all my friends were out buying houses and putting BMWs in their garage and having babies and paying student loans, I didn't do any of that. I stayed in my apartment and I saved my money. I went to work every day for 10 years and saved a bunch of money. Then I went, just like Jill alluded to, with no debt, Jen, I went and bought a property that I knew was worth way less. I knew it. I didn't take any chances. I passed on 15 or 20 deals because I was waiting for that perfect first deal because I could not lose money, and he doubled his money. So he took $150,000 and made it $350,000, and he went through each deal all the way up to $20 million or $22 million or some number like that. I don't remember. And he said he came back. It's not really about the real estate. It wasn't about these real estate deals. Those are easy. What was tough was watching all my friends go have a blast every weekend.
Yeah.
Or taking their wives to Cancun. and right. on and on and just and
that's hard. I understand.
And keeping up with the Joneses. You know what? It's not hard for me. It's really not. Well, it never has been.
Well, I can see being disappointed watching them go do that. You have to make some tough decisions.
I'm lucky enough to be with a woman where if I brought home a $8 bottle of champagne and we sat down on the floor of a closet with two coffee cups, we'd have a blast together.
Exactly. Not so, that we haven't done that.
So here's the my
Tuesday
top.
Tuesday night.
We should do that. We haven't done it recently because we make too much money. And we're all caught up in silly stuff. But if we had to go back to it, I think it'd be a blast.
I remember. We could do that. I remember too. Champagne and sleeping bags.
Yep, exactly. With no furniture.
Exactly. And it was good.
Jill, you're right.
Thank you.
So what are my top three? Marriage. Don't get married too soon.
Oh,
children, the biggest distraction in your life will be having children. For men and women. Now, this is not just for guys.
Right.
Am I saying it's bad to have kids? No, Joe and I have three. Just make sure you get all the stuff. This guy's a great example. He's 33 years old-ish. That's not too late to start anything. That's perfect time, actually, to have kids and think about getting married. And then the third one is getting the wrong education and then just getting the wrong education. Mm-hmm. And if you realize you're in the wrong profession or job or whatever, do something about it.
Right.
Because if you don't have a wife and you don't have any children or a husband, I should say spouse, not wife, you can change all that. Mm-hmm. You can go back to a $500 a month apartment somewhere. Who cares? You know, it's harder to explain that to your kids and to your spouse.
Right.
So get the right education. Don't get in a relationship, serious relationship, too soon. And avoid having children until it's the right time. I mean, it's never really the right time, but, you know, until you've got this other stuff out of the way.
It's true. Otherwise, you'll be behind and forever trying to catch
forever
up.
Forever catching
up. And you'll never catch up.
This is what my whole book's about. It's a young man's guide to having it all.
Isn't that funny? So you're writing a book for young men, and I'm writing a book for professional women.
Isn't
that interesting?
Yeah, we never talk about it except on the show, which is good.
Exactly.
Well, maybe we should. I don't know. No, let's not talk. Let's just have fun.
That's true. That was good.
I love your real estate piece, though, Jill, to this, because this real estate agent thing, what a joke.
I know.
What a joke. That's all I have to say.
I know.
It's a ruse.
Yeah. Don't do it.
It's a house of cards that are all propped up with special interest groups in Washington, D.C., keeping Realtor.com alive.
Right.
Nobody wants to pay a real estate agent, and nobody needs to.
Right. Bingo.
Join us in another episode where we discuss binge listening to podcasts. This is Cashflow from Land 546.
Oh, and answer Pete's question about how much slope is too much slope.
I love it. How much slope, like in a piece of land?
Yeah.
Like 9% grade? Wouldn't that
or
be great?
Or 40% grade, right?
I'm going to tell a story about a piece of property I sold to a rock climber.
Love it.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. That was a great show.
Yeah. I love it that when you do those when you do shows and there's numbers, I'm like, okay, I put a lot of thought into it, you know, okay, because I only have three to work with, you know, what are my top three?
Versus like the tomorrow show, which is binge listening to podcasts, you don't put anywhere.
I can just go anywhere into that one, exactly. I can just whatever, just blurt out whatever I want.
No, we should. I love the question today. Mm-hmm. We should really do a whole show on pricing.
Yes.
We should do a whole program on pricing. It's really what matters. Everything else is just mechanical.
Jack, that's brilliant. If you just did a whole separate thing on nothing but pricing.
I'm writing it down.
Love it. Good stuff. Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
And if you like our show, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you're listening.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.